It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Next topic, food allergies, a condition we often assume begins in childhood, right? Well, it might be a bigger problem as it develops in adults than people thought. Doctors were surprised by the findings of a recent study that showed more than half of Americans with food allergies developed them in adulthood. It's one of the first comprehensive studies on adult-onset food allergies, and here to discuss what it means for patients and physicians is one of the study's authors, Ruchi Gupta. She's a pediatrician and director of Northwestern University's Science and Outcomes of Allergy and Asthma Research Team. Dr. Gupta, thank you so much for your time today. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what kinds of food allergies did you find are most likely to begin in adulthood?
Yeah, so it was fascinating to us because first we found that almost 1 in 10 adults has a food allergy, which is a lot, you know, 10% of adults. And then of those, about half of them, so develop an allergy as an adult. So they may have had one as a child, but they develop a new allergy as an adult. And the very top one, to answer your question, is shellfish. Shellfish, for some reason, was way higher than any of the other allergies. So the top allergen overall in adults, and also one of the top ones to develop as an adult.
You want to go down the list a little bit? If shellfish surprised people, what else?
Yeah, so overall, it was still like the top nine, but it started with shellfish, and then milk and peanut were very close, and then you had the tree nuts, so all the other nuts, you know, almonds, cashews, pistachio. You had fin fish, so we talked about shellfish, but the fin fish, salmon, et cetera, and then there's eggs, soy, wheat, and sesame.
I guess then that people aren't born with food allergies, or some are, but many aren't. Where do they come from?
That's a great question, and one I wish I had an answer to. That is probably the most important question we're all trying to figure out, researchers all over the globe, because, you know, we have seen this dramatic increase in food allergies over a generation. You know, when you talk to people, and none of us, you know, saw this as a child, yet now we're seeing it happen more and more, and the reactions are very severe, can be very severe. So it's a very important topic. I mean, obviously there's a genetic and environmental component, but if genetics haven't changed, then the big question is what in our environment may be different today than it was, you know, a generation ago. Some of the hypotheses people have heard of and that we're studying are, you know, the hygiene hypothesis. Are we becoming too clean as a society, you know, using, you know, antibacterial soaps and cleansers and not playing in the dirt as much? A lot of information and research is being done on the microbiome, our gut microbiome, the good bacteria in our gut, and how we may be impacting that microbiome through, you know, excessive antibiotics or, you know, everything. For children, we talk about C-section births, increase in antibiotic use, types of foods we're eating, you know, has all changed dramatically in a generation. So a lot of theories, but no clear answer as of yet.
For people who might not understand why being too clean, as you put it, might lead to food allergies, the idea is that we're just not being exposed as children or adults to various things in small quantities because we're trying to protect ourselves from germs so much and from all kinds of exposures that our body doesn't adapt to being exposed to them. So then when we are exposed to them, we're more prone to develop allergies. Is that the theory?
Yeah, very good. Excellent. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. So that's absolutely right. That's why there's this big push to go out and play in the dirt and get all the good microbiome, you know, expose your immune system to those things so that your immune system doesn't necessarily want to fight things that are natural in our environment, like food. So that's absolutely right. And then the other piece of it is what I was talking about with, you know, if you are using a lot of antibacterials or things that may affect the good bacteria or kill off some of the good bacteria that we may have on our skin and our gut. You know, we have good bacteria all over us. So that's the microbiome I'm talking about. So it could potentially also influence that and cause, mm-hmm. you know, other types of bacteria that may be more susceptible to allergies.
But do I hear you right that you're not really digging in on the too clean answer as the answer? You're saying this is one leading theory right now, but really science doesn't know.
Absolutely. I mean, it is so hard because so many things are multifactorial. There's so many influencers in our lives. So it's really hard to pinpoint like this is the reason. I mean, they did that some, you know, like so for infants, you know, there was a big study that found that maybe, you know, introducing peanut products early in infancy, we may decrease the chance that infant, especially high-risk infants, develop a peanut allergy. So some prevention there, and that was pretty straightforward and became our guidelines and now is what we're trying to practice to prevent peanut allergy. But when we talk about adults, it's really interesting and challenging because adults, you know, eating shellfish one day and then, you know, a week later having it and having a reaction, like what happened to them or in their environment to cause that dramatic shift? And I think we can learn a lot from that. And some theories around that are, did they get a virus or a bacterial infection, you know, that may have impacted, like we talked about, their microbiome? Sometimes we talk about, you know, hormonal changes can do this. We do see in pregnant women an increase in allergies, you know, during their pregnancy, and then sometimes they last afterwards. So is that a potential factor? Was it an environmental change? You know, did they move from one location to another and, you know, their environment, something in their environment influenced their immune system? So it'll be very interesting now after the study to start looking at factors in the environment or in society that may be impacting this new onset allergy that we're seeing in adults.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the recent study that surprised a lot of people by showing more than half of Americans with food allergies in adulthood develop them in adulthood. People used to assume this was mostly a childhood thing or even a born with thing. And we're here with one of the study's authors, Ruchi Gupta, who's a pediatrician and director of Northwestern University's Science and Outcomes of Allergy and Asthma Research Team. And we can take your questions for Dr. Gupta at 212-433-WNYC. Or if you want to give some anecdotal evidence, if you developed a food allergy as an adult, and if you have a theory as to why, little pieces of anecdotal evidence lead to big research, scientifically valid studies. 212-433-9692. Were there many gender and racial differences in your findings? You mentioned one, that sometimes pregnant women, perhaps through changes in hormones, would develop allergies that they didn't have before. What else on racial differences and gender differences did you find?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I do want to say that again, that you're completely right. And women had were reporting almost double than men. So there is something there. And we don't see that in kids as much. So, you know, I studied prevalence of food allergy in kids, and that's, and then what you also said, you know, anecdotal evidence, I started hearing it from so many people. Well, I actually, you know, that developed a food allergy in adults. And that's why we decided, you know, we've studied it in kids, we need to study it in adults. And looking at the differences really does provide some insight. So what we did find was that as children, there's no significant difference between men and or girls and boys. But in adulthood, women were definitely significantly more reporting food allergies. So is that answered, you know, by some mm-hmm. hormonal changes or by something else that we're not even thinking about? So that was a big one. For race, it was interesting. It does cross, you know, a lot of times we don't think of this as a condition that distributes, you know, with all racial groups, but it absolutely does. And there, you know, we're still studying this in more detail, and we are actually planning on writing a more detailed paper around what racial groups tend to have what allergies. And I think that'll be very interesting too, because there were differences that we found, but it did span span everyone, all groups.
Juliet in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. And I had to call, and I'm actually smiling listening to her because I am I'm surprised that everyone is surprised that they have allergy. I'm originally from Jamaica, and the best thing is to keep connected with Earth. So I have three kids, and I always make sure they walk barefoot here. They play in the dirt. They stay connected. They spend flowers. The things that they tell you not to introduce to them until the age of two, I make sure I introduce it to before the age of two. Not saying everyone should do it, but grew up in Jamaica, I know that we don't have that high allergy because we are connected to walking barefoot. I have my daughter even sleep on the grass in the summer if she wants to, just to make sure that it's not a foreign thing to you. So allergy, personally, I believe it's everyone is so much about washing you should wash your hands, of course. But about if something falls in your house, oh, don't touch it, don't eat it. And I'm like, we're made up of dirt. This is what we are. So if you're going to, you know, it's important that we stay connected to it. And that's to me, that's why we have so much allergy, because we're just afraid of walking on dirt, of walking barefoot, of touching a plant, of hugging a tree, of anything like that. So that's why I feel like we're all getting sick.
Dr. Gruppert, do you want to talk to Juliet?
Yeah, thank you so much, Juliet. I couldn't agree with you more. I feel like, you know, the pendulum swings, right? So we used to be really connected, and then, you know, or other diseases or things started, and then we thought, oh no, we should protect our kids and be cleaner. And we got to get back to that moderation, you know, that middle ground where we allow our kids and ourselves to be on this earth and with the earth. And so much new research is showing that. And as you said, it's kind of a basic principle, but sometimes you do need the research to come back around and say, no, that is a good thing. And, you know, the other thing you brought up, which I think is really important, is oftentimes in other countries, we don't see as much allergy, and it is rising here. And so we are learning a lot from the world, and we need to look globally and see what is it that they're doing, you know, that is preventing potential allergies. So that's excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very happy to hear you said that, because, you know, for my 12-year-old, she's like, Mommy, everyone is sick at school. And I'm like, you just drink your lime tea. You just drink it's back to nature. I'm like, everything. And she's like, well, they took the shots and everything. They're still sick. I'm like, it's not just what you eat. It's what you think, as I said to her. But it's important. It's important that what you think, what you eat, and stay connected to Earth. So it's just so important. And I'm at a loss that it's like most people. It's just amazing that you have to do a research to tell people that we're made up of Earth. We're Earth. We need to be connected to Earth.
Juliet,
it's amazing.
Thank you so much. Please call us again. I imagine you would say get your vaccines too, Dr. Gupta.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I mean. We have to take everything in moderation. It's not like, and I don't think she was saying that too either. You know, I think the point that she was making so clearly is something that we are learning more and more. So thank you.
We'll continue in a minute. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, on that segment on Monday, we'll be inviting your family's black migrations, or I should say great migration, that in particular, the South to North great migration of the first half of the 20th century. We'll be inviting your family's great migration stories on Monday's show. Right now, we're inviting some of your stories about developing food allergies as adults with pediatrician and director of Northwestern University's Science and Outcomes of Allergy and Asthma Research Team, Dr. Ruchi Gupta. She was one of the researchers on a study that surprised a lot of people recently by finding that more than half of adults with food allergies develop them as adults, when we often casually assume that food allergies tend to develop in childhood. Jeff in Long Island City has a story, I think. You're on WNYC. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm 39 years old, and as a kid, most kids of my generation, I ate peanuts all the time, ate peanut butter all the time, and then when I was about 28 years old, all of a sudden I just couldn't eat it anymore. And then a few years after that, tree nuts joined the party. I can't eat those anymore. Shellfish sometimes will give me a really bad itchy reaction. Sometimes it won't. All of this popped up after the age of 28, 29. And so now there's just, you know, all this stuff I have to avoid that I ate for the first 30 years of my life. It's just very strange.
And so, doctor, if you can give Jeff a theory or even some medical advice, but it kind of goes against the idea that lack of exposure to something in childhood makes you more prone to becoming allergic to it in adulthood because he was eating all those things.
Right. And, you know, I want to learn from you, Jeff. Like, this is exactly what I keep hearing as after we published the study, and I appreciate it. And is there anything in that you can kind of point to? Did anything change in your life when you feel like you started developing them, or was everything pretty similar?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything necessarily changed. I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as an adult a lot of days, and then all of a sudden they just started making me sick. It's not really an anaphylactic thing so much as it's just my body reacts really badly to it. And then tree nuts, you know, I would eat almonds and walnuts all the time. And then about 3-4 years ago, that stopped being viable. Shellfish, it's very strange. This is kind of very anecdotal, but, if it's like a crab roll or something like that, it's usually fine. But if it's like a crab still in the shell, like where you break it open, or a lobster still in the shell, that tends to be what gives me a reaction. So It's very specific and strange, and I have no idea why.
Yeah. No, but I hear this more and more, right? Because what happens when you're an adult is you'll eat it and you'll have a reaction. And oftentimes I hear the same thing you're saying, that it's not a severe anaphylactic reaction. And then you end up avoiding it, or if it's a certain way you eat it. Like, these are stories that come up more and more. And I think it's so important to listen and hear those details, because maybe the answer lies somewhere in that. Have you gotten a diagnosis or had any testing done with an allergist?
I haven't. I've just kind of, you know, lived and kind of figured out what makes me feel bad and what doesn't, and kind of just avoided things. The other strange kind of quirk of this is when nuts, peanuts or tree nuts are roasted or cooked, they tend to do less damage to me. But if it's anything raw, it's really, really rough on me. So, yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing. I probably should go get it checked out, but I just don't eat those things.
Go ahead. I just want to point out, like, that your story is totally common. I'm not trying to, you know, make you feel bad or anything, but like, what we found in our study was also that half of the people who had convincing food allergies, like you, were not getting it diagnosed. And what's important about that for you and for the physicians is for us to, one, understand what's going on, and two, if there's something we can do. I mean, what's really exciting about food allergy is there are treatments coming on the market within this year, and hopefully that will help people go to their physician, because you could get rid of it. Because avoiding a food is so difficult, you know, and it's hard to make sure it's not in your food all the time. And I hate for so many adults to have to do that on a daily basis.
You can get rid of an allergy?
So you potentially, I mean, we don't know enough, right? So we don't know if adults also develop tolerance. A lot of kids do develop tolerance. So especially to things like egg and milk and wheat and soy, you know, almost somewhere between 25% and 50% of kids will grow out of it, or, you know, be able to eat it regularly. Things like peanuts, tree nuts, and shellfish, it's less. It's somewhere between 10% and 20%, but it does happen. So now I'm hoping this study opened the doors to really understanding all these other things. But there are treatments coming on the market. So oral immunotherapy for peanut, you know, where you eat small amounts and gradually increase. Hopefully that'll be coming out, you know, later this year. So a lot of treatments are in kind of phase 5 trials. So there's hope on the horizon.
And one thing struck me about Jeff's story, I don't know if it becomes a clue to anything, you know, broader in a population study, but both of the examples that he gave, he's less sensitive when the item is cooked, like the crab in a crab cake versus, you know, fresh crab. And the same thing with peanuts. You know, I don't know, but for whatever reason, the cooking process, maybe, or some kind of processing process. I don't know if that's something you've seen before.
Well, we are studying it. So the two that we have good evidence on are milk and egg. So for young children, you know, it's so hard to avoid milk and egg because it's in cakes and cookies and all the good stuff. So what we have found is that a majority of children actually with those allergies can tolerate baked milk and egg products. Not all of them, you know, so that's a very important thing to go to a doctor and get mm-hmm. tested and get a challenge for. But hopefully if you can tolerate that baked product, the reason that happens is because by cooking it, it denatures some of those proteins and the reaction happens because of the protein in the food. So yes, we do have some data on foods that if you do bake it at a certain heat for a long period of time. So kind of going back to the cooking theory, you know, what is it about the raw versus the cooked?
We're talking about the latest findings in food allergies, which indicates that there's much more adult onset food allergy than previously thought. We're talking with one of the researchers, Dr. Ruchi Gupta from Northwestern University. And here's a question from Twitter. Listener Linda asks, have you seen a significant connection between the development of an allergy and a traumatic event? She writes, I developed mine to shellfish the weekend my father-in-law died. My friend had a similar experience that led to a turkey allergy.
Wow, that is really interesting. This is why I love doing this, because I learned from all the listeners. But we do know that stress and kind of what the other caller mentioned, what you think about, you know, so the intensity of stress can influence all kinds of things in your body. So that's a great suggestion. I promise to add it and look into it.
And listener Marsha on Twitter writes, many of my friends and I, women, seniors, see a sensitivity to red wine since post-menopause. And then she writes, interesting with what the doctor said about women and men having different rates of allergy. So anything on that in particular, red wine after menopause?
Yeah, no, that's no good. I don't want that to happen. Thank you. It's really good to know that that's what's happening. But as I mentioned, with hormones changing either during pregnancy or after menopause, we do see changes in allergies. We haven't studied it extensively, but that's something we really need to do.
You also conclude, we should point out, just to scramble people's brains, that another 21 million people, in addition to the many millions who develop food allergies as adults, another 21 million believe they have a food allergy, but they actually don't.
Yeah, so let me clarify that, because I think the media took it in that direction. What we found was when we surveyed individuals, 20% reported a food allergy. Now, the problem with food allergies is a lot of the symptoms are very similar to other food-related conditions, right? So you could have lactose intolerance and get pain and irritation and bloating and then potentially some diarrhea, like with a lactose intolerance. Now, with a food allergy, you can also get GI symptoms, but so they're overlap, you know? So mm-hmm. if someone said they had only GI symptoms, we didn't include it because we were trying to be very conservative. So I don't know what everyone, you know, the 20% have, but I do know that 10% of them were very, very convincingly food allergy. And the other 10%, it could overlap with intolerances and, you know, oral allergy syndrome. And there's just so many things, you know, gluten sensitivity. There's a lot of different things that are also very important. And this is my push to please, you know, if you do have something with food, try to get it diagnosed because it'll help with the management of it. And, you know, if there are treatments for it, then, you know, why avoid the food in your diet? So I appreciate you bringing that up because it's been a little taken in different directions. So
Thanks for clarifying it. Dr. Ruchi Gupta, Director of Northwestern University Science and Outcomes of Allergy and Asthma Research Team and co-author of the new study on adult onset food allergies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More after this.